After surviving cancer in medical school, Dr. Kurt Neumann went to work for a full-time pediatric surgeon. His experience as both a patient and healthcare provider revealed a need for more personal children's healthcare. Now, as a leader in pediatric medicine, he oversees one of the best children's hospitals in the country. But while many healthcare options for children have drastically improved, there are still disparities that exist locally. Here to discuss his experiences and observations from a near 40-year career is Dr. Kurt Neumann. He is the president and chief executive officer of the Children's National Health System. He joins us in studio. Dr. Neumann, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kojo. It's wonderful to be here.
When you were in medical school, you were diagnosed with thyroid cancer. What did that experience teach you about healthcare that you couldn't have learned in a classroom or through a textbook because you apparently happened to be sharing a space with a child?
Well, that's true. I think the central and motivating thing for me in my medical career from that time was that I'd been a patient, that I'd had cancer, and that it just was so formative as I was trying to make these decisions about my own career. What can I do to make things better? How could I be involved? Up to that point, I was going to be a cardiologist. I was going in to take care of the heart, and I shifted, and I went into surgery because I saw the impact of the surgeon had on me personally. But that experience also as a patient is what really drove a lot of the decisions I made from that point. That idea of the patient, that, and in my case now the child, needs to be at the center of the care. It's not about the doctor or the hospital, but it's really about the patient, the child, the family.
You looked across the room and realized that there was a child in that hospital who was unaccompanied by any relatives, who was facing the challenge of surgery alone. How did that affect you?
Well, it was just very, very uncomfortable. I had friends that were coming to see me because I was in medical school there, and they were my buddies, and they were looking after me in different ways. But this little girl was in the same space, coming through a similar experience, but her family wasn't there. The nurses were going about their business. There wasn't that focus on children, and that just seemed so unusual and uncomfortable.
800-433-8850 is the number you can call to join the conversation. Were you or your child operated on, treated for a medical condition at a young age? What was your experience like, and how did it affect your views about healthcare later in life? 800-433-8850. After graduating, you worked for the first full-time pediatric surgeon here in Washington. Can you give us a few examples of how the field of pediatric medicine has changed since then at the local level?
That's true. I came in 1964. It doesn't seem that long ago to me. Well, I didn't come in 64, but Dr. Randolph was the first pediatric surgeon in 1964. I came 20 years later to train with him. And medicine is just for children has just changed drastically. And in my field, in pediatric surgery, so I was a surgeon for many years, the technology has changed. It's very common now to do surgery with through scopes and not make big incisions so that you're not doing it that you don't have all the pain and discomfort after an operation. There's so much more about anesthesia and specialty care that has come along. So when I started out 20 years ago, I would do everything. And now it's gotten very focused down, and people specialize in one area or the other. So the whole field has evolved, and that's been one of the great fun parts of being here at Children's National, is to see that evolution, that expansion, the all of the research that's happened, and the great things that we can do now for children.
Our guest is Dr. Kurt Neumann. He is the president and chief executive officer of the Children's National Health System. His book is called Healing Children, A Surgeon's Stories from the Frontiers of Pediatric Medicine. You should know that proceeds from this book go to the Pediatric Health Opportunity Fund, a charity that supports research at Children's National and other centers. Dr. Neumann, in the beginning of your book, you describe parents doing certain things to make their sick children more comfortable in the hospital. Your colleagues early on in your career felt that that was extra and unnecessary. Why?
Well, I think at that time, as I was starting out, the physicians didn't really see the added value of taking the time, taking the extra resources maybe that were necessary to do little things that might make a child more comfortable or might make a family more comfortable. It was all about the medicine, all about the science. What I learned through my career and experience is that it was those little things that sometimes made all the difference and that helped a child heal, that helped a family get through the situations they were dealing with.
Why is it important to look beyond direct medical care and its outcomes?
Well, I think that healing environment contributes so much to children and families, to have music, to have art, to bring the school into it so that the child doesn't necessarily feel like they're having a medical experience. Children are so resilient. They come back and get through so many big operations, cancer, and they sometimes barely turn a hair. And so these experiences that we create are going to live with them forever. And I tell some stories in the book about this amazing resilience, these children that just had one child that I took care of. He was in the eighth grade. He was playing basketball, got hit in the stomach area. He started bleeding internally. Well, what came up was that he had a big liver tumor. It had taken over about half of his liver and spread through his body. This was a situation that probably only had a 10% chance of survival. We operated on him, and it was one of the most defeated I'd ever felt after the operation, even though we got out about 99% of the tumor. We thought, well, you know, we didn't get it all, and what's going to happen? Well, children, their resilience and their biology is so different that with the chemotherapy and different things, he bounced back. Within 4 or 5 months, he was playing on his baseball team down at Gonzaga. He, a couple years later, he carried the Olympic torch here in Washington before the Olympics. And it's all about that biology, that resilience. So the key with an experience in the hospital and the reason to have all these things to help the healing is that when you think about a child, it's that long arc of what they're going to become and be, and we don't want to give up on that, and we want to help them develop. And I believe that helps unleash a lot of the biology that helps them heal.
We have to think that at some point that child is likely, hopefully, to become an adult. What does it take to change the mentality that you simply focus on the medical care and its outcome? What does it take to change that mentality in the medical profession? Does it take high-profile cases? Does it take money? Does it take leadership?
I think it takes all of that, and I think it also takes having the compassion and the centricity of that patient and family, and to rethink about how we educate doctors and nurses, to put that, because any doctor, any nurse, anybody in healthcare that's ever been a patient themselves, they wake up to it. You see, just like I did when I was in that recovery room with that little girl, it becomes, you see it through a different lens. So I think there is that movement, and I think it's beginning to happen, and you feel that in hospitals.
Can you feel it in medical schools? Can it be taught in medical schools, that kind of thinking?
I think you need to bring the patients and the families into the medical schools and have them teach that way and provide that experience. And we're doing more and more with simulation, for example, that creates that internal experience that then people can take with them.
On to the telephones. Here is Gail in Alexandria, Virginia. Gail, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Thank you, Kojo. And I'd like to thank you and your guests for both for what you do in your respective careers. My son is a leukemia survivor. He was diagnosed in 1990 when he was three, had 3.5 years of chemo. I'm happy to say that he's now 29 and no evidence of disease. But the thing that made, two things made a huge difference for us when we, when he was being treated, and he was treated at Hershey Medical Center. One was with the social workers and the support groups for the parents, helping us deal with what was, what we were going through, what he was going through, what was happening with the family. The next were the child life specialists, who I think that was just relatively new at the time, but they spent, all the time in clinics. Once he got out of the hospital, he had chemo every Thursday, every third Thursday for 3 years. So we were at clinic every Thursday. And the child life specialist kept the children occupied. My his sister's only 18 months older, so she went with us until she was in first grade. But kept them occupied with games and art projects and explaining to them in terms they could understand, you know, what they were going through, what was happening to the other children that they got to know. And that was that made all the difference for us.
I'd like to ask Dr. Newman about that. Exactly how important was that? You talk about the presence of clowns in what was then Children's National Medical Center, how one surgeon objected to it, they got rid of it, you brought them back.
Well, that's right. And the caller, first of all, what a great story, and the outcome that we would all want for our children to go through something as seemingly terrible as leukemia, but can now talk about it in such a positive way and about her experience and her son's experience. I think that's she makes the critical point about the team and having the social workers, having the child life specialists, which now is a full-blown specialty, and I talk about that in the book, about how important that is. And the other thing is, I think the caller is being modest, is the importance of the mother. And I talk a lot about that in the book. Obviously, fathers are important, and Father's Day is Sunday. But the mother is so critical, and it's so important for doctors, nurses, social workers to listen to the mother, to include the family in the team, in all of the care. So, and when you do that, you just see that you need to have music, you need to have art, you need to be thinking about it, things from the child and family perspective. So I think she's right on, and we need to double down on the things that she's brought forward.
Gail, thank you very much for your call. On another issue, last month, Jimmy Kimmel gave a tearful monologue on his late night show about the birth of his son, who was born with a rare heart disease, and his address, which went viral, he made a political point, too. Let's take a listen.
Until a few years ago, millions and millions of us had no access to health insurance at all. You know, before 2014, if you were born with congenital heart disease like my son was, there was a good chance you'd never be able to get health insurance because you had a pre-existing condition. You were born with a pre-existing condition. If your parents didn't have medical insurance, you might not live long enough to even get denied because of a pre-existing condition. If your baby is going to die, and it doesn't have to, it shouldn't matter how much money you make. I think that's something that, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or something else, we all agree on that, right? I mean, we do.
Well, obviously, his audience did. But how much of the conversation, Dr. Newman, about children's health has to do with care, access, or affordability?
Well, I think it's a very central question, and our lawmakers are debating it right now. One of the things, and this is where I agree with Jimmy Kimmel, is that children haven't been as much of the part of the conversation as they should have been. Over 30 million children are on Medicaid, for example. And what I hear is that there's discussion of cutting Medicaid. In fact, that's probably the wrong direction, and we should think about investing more in our children. It's a wise investment. We prevent things, and we avoid things, and we get them early and prevent some of the later complications. So what I would say is let's look at it differently, and let's think about maybe putting more dollars, more investment into our children.
You've advocated for a healthcare system that is tailor-made just for children.
Well, you know, we have a system for adults or for the elderly. It's called Medicare. Why don't we have something similar for children? What we have is a real patchwork where every state is different. And why should it matter which state a child is born in? to get the care that they need. So I say that it'd be a wise health policy to think about covering all of our children, just like we cover all the adults, so that they get the care they needed. And I think in the long run, it would be very cost effective because you'd prevent a lot of the things that happen later. And with research, we know that if you get in early, and maybe it's something like mental health, maybe it's diabetes, obesity, the things are coming along with the genetics that if we diagnose these things early, we can prevent a lot of the later adult complications.
On to Tony at George Washington University Medical Center. Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Newman and Kojo, hello. May I say first, Dr. Newman, that I had the pleasure of meeting you very briefly about 20 years ago when you did a very minor surgery for my daughter. And I just want to thank you for the humanity, the skill, the compassion that you bring to care of children, not only my daughter, but thousands and thousands of others in this region. I remember reading a story in the Post about you many years ago when you cared for the young man injured by the sniper. And what an extraordinary story that was that affected me for years, reading how you cared for him. May I say one other thing? I take care of adults. I'm an adult physician. And that I'd like to see some of that humanity and compassion and skill brought to the care of adults. I think that we don't think so much about patient-centered care when we think about adults. We think they're tough and they can handle all the insults and discomfort that goes along with medical care. I wondered if you have thoughts about how we could bring some of this patient-centered care to the adult patient as well.
Dr. Newman.
Well, thank you, Tony. And I'd like to just correct one little thing. There's no minor surgery in a child. And I say that because frequently the operation may seem minor, but the whole experience with pediatric anesthesia, that's something we don't ever want to trivialize because it's so specialized. And I really appreciate your comments. As in terms of the adult medicine, I think there's a lot of things that adult medicine can learn from pediatric medicine. And I look forward to finding ways to spread the word because I think a lot of it will come out of research that shows that the healing environment creates better outcomes. And I think that is probably what we're going to have to rely on, Tony, is that the research and the evidence will prove that out. I think you also mentioned the sniper, and I know situation, and I know just before I came on, we were talking about what happened yesterday in Alexandria, and it really made me think back about those days in Washington where there was a lot of fear and terror, and we had the opportunity to take care of a young man. Washington is so blessed to have the great medical facilities here. You mentioned George Washington, the Washington Hospital Center, in our case, Children's National, that are prepared and ready to take care of these type of situations where people know what to do. And in our case, we're totally ready for anything that comes in, and everybody's trained up to do that. And I think, we need to consider that and continue to invest in these great hospitals and organizations. But thank you, Tony. Great to hear from you.
Thank you very much for your call. That's it for the show today. Dr. Kurt Newman is president of and chief executive officer of the Children's National Health System. His book is called Healing Children, A Surgeon's Stories from the Frontiers of Pediatric Medicine. Dr. Newman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo. It's been a pleasure to be here.
That's it for the show today, but check out our website, kojoshow.org, for recent shows on everything from local politics to local spices. This Sunday is the Jamaican Jerk Festival. It's in D.C. for the second time, attesting both to the popularity of the distinctive spicy dishes and to the growing Caribbean community here. We spoke to the festival organizer and a local jerk seasoning chef. You can check it out at kojoshow.org/blog. And don't forget to tune in for the Politics Hour tomorrow. We'll be talking to the Democratic winner in the gubernatorial primary in Virginia, current Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam. Also, D.C. Council Chair Phil Mendelson will be in studio discussing all things streetcar and anything else on your mind. Until then, thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
Kojo Nambi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Inglisa Schroepdorf, Ruth Camp, Avery Kleiman, and Taria Rogers. The engineer is Meg Bunting. Cliff Gallagher has been on the phone. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Nambi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.